Blog Talk Radio. the email from Candia. She'll send it to me. And then
I print it out. That's why I printed out the...
What she said?
Hello? No, no. You said that's why you printed out what? Because you broke...
We got a copy.
Hold on, wait,
that's why I printed out the paper that had the information...
top of it. That's it.
Is Mr. Crenshaw there? Mr. Crenshaw? Okay. Well, we are certainly having our fun this evening, aren't we? Yes, we are. But as I said, we will continue to reach out to Mr. Crenshaw, unquestionably. I appreciate you staying with us as we attempt to get Mr. Crenshaw on the air this evening. But we will make it happen. That we will do. Something we don't do here. We don't give up. That's not part of the DNA of being a Progressive News Weekly. It's just not part of our mix. So we will hopefully have Mr. Crenshaw back. Not sure why he is not able to join us. I think he may be in air with us now. Mr. Crenshaw?
Yes, I'm here now.
All right.
Something else.
Yeah, we were trying to reach you, and we were some reason getting some other number or some other dialogue, but we've got you now, and that's what matters.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for taking the time out this evening to have some discourse. It looked as though our engineer had you connected. Were you able to hear anything of what we were discussing earlier?
I guess it got on mute. That was it.
Okay.
Okay,
well, that's good. So you were able to hear a little bit about what we were talking about our program this evening, and some of the things that we want to talk about. Did you hear the part about the news line on Rutgers University?
No, I haven't. I was, you know,
well,
be honest.
What I was saying is something interesting in the last few days has
yes.
hit the news wire, and that is that Rutgers University has a new president. And
right.
I found it interesting the way that the headline read.
Uh-huh.
And the headline read, and I'll again quote how it was presented. Rutgers boards approve hiring university's first non-white president in school's 254 years.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
so I found that interesting. He happens to be African American.
Yeah.
That they stated non-white. As
right.
So you're white and everything else.
Right.
So, he couldn't be an African American or first Asian or first Hindu but
right.
he had to be a non-white. And I just found that interesting myself. And I received quite a few messages, I guess, of others who had read that and said, you know, I'm a little taken aback. And some were saying, okay, what should we expect? And just a lot of different perspectives on that.
Yes.
And I guess just how you feel about that subject. What's
right.
your thought about that particular headline,
yes.
the way that it was presented?
Sure. Well, you know, it's the way things are, you know, that's the way things are taken, that it's a separation between those who are white and those who are non-white. You know, that's the separation to you know, what should I say, give more importance to one group over the others, you see. And that's, you know, that's a thing that's there. But that it really is not, what should I say, embedded in what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Put it that way. You see
mm-hmm.
what I mean? It has nothing to do
mm-hmm.
with what we really are. Because, as I said before, we're all Homo sapiens. So if you want to say that, you know, he's non-white, you know, what does white mean? You know what I mean? Because it's something you put on something. It's something you place there to divide. You see what I mean? In terms of Homo sapiens. You see, that's the way you divide Homo sapiens. But, you know, let's see, what should I say? I'm trying to think of the author now. Shucks. He War of the Worlds. He was the author of War of the Worlds. And he had a 2-volume history of civilization, and he called some of the, I guess they had features that are close to what they call white people. So he called them black. He called them, let's see, I'm trying to think of he related to them as black Caucasians. That's what he called them, black Caucasians, because I think their phenotype looked like whites, you know, with narrow noses and small lips, that sort of thing. So he deemed them as black Caucasians. See what I mean? When, you know, it's funny if you understand that what he's talking about is a variation of phenotype that can be in anyone. You see what I mean? But it doesn't separate Homo sapiens, because they all are basically the same. It's just that they have different phenotypes. So you see a lot of these Indians are brown complexion, and they have narrow noses, narrow lips, things that I saw, they might have, straight hair. And then when you go to Australia, you see the people, they call them Aboriginals, Australian Aboriginals, because they have very brown, dark brown skin, yet they have blonde hair. Okay, so you see what I mean? That's the phenotype that's coming out of the entire genome of Homo sapiens. See, so you get these variations, but they don't mean anything insofar as the IQ, if you want to call it that, the IQ of all Homo sapiens, because some Homo sapiens in every category have geniuses, and they have those who are not. You see what I mean? Because, that's the way things are. You have East Indians that are as smart as Europeans. You see what I mean? So, you think of it, and you find that there's Jewish people who are extremely brilliant, and then you turn around and you find someone who's supposed to be just African, extremely brilliant. You see what I mean? So you got this thing going that there's differences, you see, because one group wants to, since they're at the top, so to speak, think of themselves as being superior when that's not true. You see what I mean? Because when we go back in history, we know that the first civilization comes out of Africa. So, and all of those are brown-skinned people. You see what I mean? They're all brown-skinned, and they may have kinky hair, yet they're brilliant. You see what I mean? So what their makeup is has nothing to do with their ability for intelligence. You see, so you have this sort of thing going on all the time. And it's in of itself, it doesn't make one group superior to another group. Because as we know, civilizations rise and they fall. Rise and they fall. There used to be the saying that, Britain is the king of the seas. That had a certain period in history, but it's no longer there. You see what I mean? So England rules the world, because they're in the seas and stuff like that. But, hey, they meet up with Germany, and all of a sudden they're not the top group. See what I mean? So you have the United States right now starting to teeter. It's starting to teeter because there's new groupings that are coming forward. And right now the outstanding challenge is between U.S. and China. You see what I mean? So that's the complexity that we have, and that's the thing that we have to, realize that is more of, I'd say, keeping us backwards rather than allowing us to go forward and realize that we're one species, and civilizations rise and they fall, rise and they fall. You see, you understand what I'm trying to convey.
Yeah, yeah, that, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, that's there. I mean, the Arabs, were the leading group after the fall of Rome. The Arabs came in, and there were Arabs that were light-skinned, and there were so-called Arabs that were dark brown skin. Okay, so that's why you have these things going on. Timbuktu was supposed to be African, and you had a renaissance in Timbuktu. Buildings and things and structures were created in that period. It went down, but you know, that's what happened. And in terms of civilization rising, then the fall of the Arabs came in, and then you know, Columbus, he got all his knowledge from the Arabs and the what they call let's see, it was another name, the Moors, right? They were dark-skinned, and they had traversed the world. They knew about, and they are the first to enter first, because I think there were people already in Asia and South America, that sort of thing. Someone's beeping me. I can't go there now. But you follow what I'm saying. These changes happen, you know, in time, and they continue to happen. And people, non-white, it's really immaterial, but they have to do this to try to make things feel that, you know, there's a big difference when there isn't. It's they have that fancy word phenotype, how you're made up. You see what I mean? With curly hair or what they call kinky hair or something. It's immaterial. You see, it doesn't make one better than the other. See,
I agree with you, Ron.
Yeah,
I agree with you to a significant degree. When you say it's immaterial, that's kind of an oxymoron because it's in another sense it's very material in terms of resources that have developed with regard to various cultures, and various cultures are tied into various races. And so, you know, you have what in various countries, what are known as minorities, of which, you know, African Americans have traditionally been, you know, the leading minority in America. That has changed now in the last 10, maybe to 15 years, but I'd say at least to the last 10 years, you know, that we aren't the leading minority. You know, Latinos have taken that slot, but the, you know, the truth of the matter is that as much as we are one genome, human, Homo sapien, there are cultural differences that have developed over time that have created these differences that now exist.
Right.
And they're just not going to go away in the blink of an eye. So they have to be dealt with. And
they have to be
inequities.
Right. Okay. But what I'm trying to get to is that all of this changes in time. There's always a change. I mean, you know, all of a sudden, Japan comes on the scene and, is only crushed by the United States because it has a higher, you know, what should I say, development. But it doesn't mean that the Japanese are inferior. They're not inferior. See what I mean? And just like if the United, when England collapsed, it collapsed because of Germany. And it wasn't because of that the Germans were superior. It was a point where the British couldn't keep up the Germans at that point. See, so it's not a matter that one is superior and the other is inferior. it's a matter that things change. And it's changing within people of the same Homo sapiens. See, the grouping of Homo sapiens, that's human beings. See what I mean? So at points in history, one rises while the other falls. One rises as the other falls. But they are not rising and falling because one is superior. They're rising because one is taking a place where the other is not able to take. But it doesn't mean one is inferior. See, that's what I'm trying to get to. It's not based on inferiority, but we take it that way because one is, you know, is in a certain position. But those positions vary at given times. That's the struggle to understand that. And because, you know, that's the way it, you know, it is. When one group is advanced more than the other, all of a sudden the other group seems to come to the forefront. And while the one that used to be dominant is no longer dominant. See, so we see these things and we look the other way. Because we want to feel like someone is superior to another. And that's not true. They were not superior to each other, but on different periods in history, things change. I can take it because we've seen it. And,
well, you've done a history. Speaking of history, from time to time on this program, you know, just talking about how things seem to have evolved, you know, in Europe and Asia, and how resources and the dominance of procuring resources was significantly at the core of a lot of that division.
Right.
You know, going back to the beginning of man as we know it, with those monarchs having enormous wealth and
right.
using that wealth to dominate others.
Exactly.
You talk about some of that. And how that perpetuated and that mindset developed across the globe, where you began to have various isolates of power segments, and then those power pieces began to war because one would want the resources of the other so they could be the lone dominant.
Right.
And so, and then that began to, you know, trickle down into that become and develop divisions based on certain things such as skin color, things that could be easily identified.
Right, right.
And one of the easiest things to be identified, as you would say, is a skin color or
right.
gender, for example.
Right.
In terms of that. That
right.
dominance, and then over time, if someone can create a perpetual dominance,
yes,
it's easiest to do that based on a color. And
uh-huh.
so, you know, fast forward to America with the advent of the slavery in America, because clearly. I think we all know, and you've articulated enough times over the last 10 years on this program, slavery did not start in America.
Right.
Far from it.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
But it like no other place, was institutionalized in America.
The Romans had the Greeks enslaved. When the Romans rose to the top, they had the Greeks enslaved. They were both, you know, what we call Europeanized people, just to to make the easy explanation. You know, they dominated them. And early on in the 8th century, the Vikings dominated England. You know, they just crushed them, took what they want and stuff of that sort. You know, and later on they moved out and they even clashed with the Arabs. And the Arabs pushed them back also. But that is a thing that goes on with our species. It's not one is better than the other. It's just that one takes, wins with the strategies and tactics, that sort of thing, and weaponry. Someone develops an advanced weapon that's over the others, so they take first place. But then someone else comes up and has a weapon even more advanced and takes over. But it's not, it's not like we try to build it up to be, I'm superior to you. You know what I mean? I'm not superior. That's the point, because we're one species. So that's what we have to deal with and not think in terms that, we happen to be black, so therefore we got to take it, we have to rise to the top. If we congeal, we'll rise to the top. We're not into that. That's not, but we do want, and we do demand equality. That's the one point. We do demand equality because that is what is really there, is equality. Because you can name a lot of so-called blacks that have invented things here in America. There's been a plethora of things they've invented and stuff like that. Of course, and they didn't get credit for it, but So that's where we are. We're struggling to understand that. And one of the things I find that's more immediate to understand is that when we speak of capitalism, we have to realize what that system is, because the system encourages one group to dominate another. That's the thing about it. That's its uppermost, because we see that with the fancy word they give is imperialism. And all that means, I have the ability to take what I want from you and you can't do anything about it. So that's imperialism. That comes out of capitalism. So that's why capitalism is really a backward institution that doesn't help people, really. It just keeps them, one trying to dominate the other. And we'd like to step forward out of that and for the betterment of humanity itself. Because now we have military weapons that wipe out thousands of people at one time. And, that eventually just destroys the humanity. I mean,
where we are now is a product of what you're talking about. Fact of the matter is, it is what it is, where we are now, with all that division, with all that separation based on race and religion and even gender, it does exist. Thus, we have a Black History Month,
right,
which, is designed to help to create an understanding of the nature of a specific race in America because of the circumstances that have prevailed for the previous 200 years that has been proven to have influenced given race significantly though not, of course, 100% across the board, but significantly to the extent that the children of the African American race have a lower self-esteem, lower opportunities, and so, you know, someone, Carter G. Woodson specifically, said,
yeah,
look, we need something to counter this.
Right.
Even given what you've said, Ron, about, hey, you know what, let's keep it real. It's one race, the human race.
Right.
And 2,000 years ago, you know, that's well and good, but it's developed into something that's perverted now.
Yes.
You know?
And how?
Racism.
Oh, you
so,
use the right word. Capitalism,
yeah,
is bestial at best,
mm-hmm,
because of what it requires out of the human condition. You see, so, I mean,
mm-hmm,
I have $1 trillion and there are people on the street that can't afford to have an apartment. I mean,
yeah.
That,
well, I mean, what's happening in California? Let's go there specifically. Folks, if you don't know, just Google it. You know, the,
yeah,
degradation of the homeless and infestation of California streets, San Francisco, L.A., it's so bad that they have to sanitize the streets,
wow,
from time to time. And,
gee,
and just because you don't know at any given time what you're likely to walk into, and we're not talking about the lower animal species. We're talking about human feces.
Oh,
and
my.
It's so bad that I said earlier in the program, I don't know if you were in the back studio at the time listening,
yeah,
but I'm appalled with this whole political process, left wing,
right,
and right wing, because,
yeah,
you have these political pundits, you know,
yeah,
who are saying, ah, this person is bad. But wait, let me just take a peek in your backyard over there where,
right,
you happen to be the leading political person, and your streets are infested worse,
right,
than any other state in the entire union.
Gee,
and
whiz,
you're pointing fingers and creating this political fiasco on television with no merit specifically, and it's just going to cause a perpetual degradation of the process and dilution of the process to it won't even mean anything in 10 or 20 years at the rate it's going. It'll just be, okay, we don't like you, so we're going to impeach you. And that's,
yeah,
what it's become.
Right.
As opposed to backing it all the way up and saying, as well, you're talking about, what is this all based on anyway?
Right.
Capitalism. But see, neither wing will talk about that.
Right, right. We do. We do.
But we're in a situation where we do have a class of people that, because of that, that system, because the system is designed that you'll have those who have and those who do not have.
That's right.
And because of the easy identification of the race and then compounding on something that was created called slavery here in this country, and not created as in terms of the whole institution of slavery, but the way it was brought here, created in America, you've developed over some 200 years an underclass.
Right.
And
right,
for that underclass to try to gain some kind of self-esteem on a broad base, because you have those very affluent, and to prove your point, Ron,
yeah,
very affluent within that race, I mean,
oh, yeah,
who are as rich as any, well, not as rich as anyone, because they're not as rich as the some of the names, Gettys and those, you know, folks, but you have African-Americans who are billionaires now, and yet, generally speaking, the race is degraded. You know, so there are these programs that have to be in place, and I do believe that something has to be put in place to bring some relatively quick balance. Because what you're talking about in terms of the whole capitalist thing, I don't know how fast that can be turned around, looking at the way the system is today and with the technology as it is today. I don't see any signs of that train, you know, being tried to slow down because of those who have the power right now.
Right.
So I do see the value in trying to educate these children to understand what's going on, not just from the perspective of understanding, hey, you're black, you have some wherewithal that validates a high level of self-esteem.
Right.
But also to be able to step back on a broader scale and, as you're saying, understand it's even more than black and white. I think those two educational pieces have to go hand in hand.
Exactly.
But I do think you need both. I do believe that that is necessary because of the way society has developed today and the way that I believe children of an African American race are being abused. You know, just as an example with what was happening, and we've talked about this many times, you know, under the Obama watch, with all the African Americans that were just publicly, regressively abused, across the nation.
That's right.
Hitting west, north, south, and east.
Right.
And so I believe it is important that there be an educational component there to say, okay, you're black. These are the things that are happening to you because you're black. And to take it a little deeper because of the society and the type of system that you're living in. But first, look at what they've done to Afghanistan,
Iraq.
Yeah.
And now trying to do Iran. And what they like to do, but can't right now, is attack North Korea. You see?
Mm-hmm.
But China has said, stay away. See, stay away. Well, they're, you know, they're kind of. Would love to, but can't right now. See, and that's the thing. And see, we think in terms of that coming from a white consciousness, but it's not a consciousness of being white. See, that's the important thing. It's a consciousness of being, should I say, of being capitalistic. See, it's the economic system, see, that is pressuring and pushing people into that. I need more money. I need more money. So I need more resources. You see, I need this. I want to dominate oil. I want to dominate this. I want to dominate that. You see what I mean? So I can be important. See, when all of that has got to be, you know, backed off from. Because that only drives conflict and makes one group want to feel like they have to dominate someone else when it's not necessary. And, well, they're going for ignoring the climate change, so that might be the next evaporation of our species because we breathe air. And if the water's going to come up above our heads, we can't stay there. We've got to disappear if the water is going to come up over our heads. So, you know, that's the thing. So we have to kind of like come together and realize what we're doing. And that's the thing. And stop just thinking that this person is inferior to me because I have this now. that all white gets, you know, gets washed away. I mean, we saw, we know, we didn't see, but we know that Rome was once a high civilization, but it went into, it collapsed. And who did it collapse to? Initially, it collapsed to a group of people that were considered, here we go again with my memory, Eastern Europeans, I'll put it that way, Eastern Europeans, right? Eastern Europeans, Slavs, Slavic people. That was the Vandals coming down. Yeah, I got another call coming in. I don't know who that is. Anyway, those are the way things go. And then Europe slowly develops. Northern Europe starts to develop on its own. Well, not on its own, from taking the resources from the Arabs, the Moors. That's where Columbus gets his information that there's another continent going west. See, so that's why he finds it, because the pilots in his boats had been on that course before, so they brought him there. And he saw his weapons were superior to the people that were there, so he gobbled it up as far as he could go. He ended up in jail, though. And so people who he helped go forward then disagreed with him, put him in jail. So, you know, things are all mixed up, really, really mixed up.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ron. They absolutely are. So with that said, as we look at, we just celebrated a Martin Luther King holiday, and we're looking at a Black History Month that's coming up next month, which is the celebration of African American history. You being a history buff yourself, what value do you see in our children, African American specifically, having a greater understanding of their history? What's your thought of that?
Well, my thought of that is to, yeah, make them understand from whence they've come. That's my very basis, is to understand from which they've come, and that they have no reason to feel in any way inferior. That has to be evaporated. That's the thing, to get them to understand. Since they don't have atomic weapons, that doesn't mean they're inferior. You see what I mean? We got to get out of that thing, because the atomic weapons are more detrimental to humanity than anything else. I shouldn't say anything else, because the climate, I think, is the most dominant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's the sleeping giant.
Now, others just either very close to it. The atomic weapons are very close to it, because they do a lot of damage. They do a hell of a lot of damage to our nature, to human nature. Because we saw what happened to the children once they had that limited. It was a limited called. It was uranium, but it was like half life. They call it half life, not full life, but spring from the the males coming back home and inseminating their women. And the children came out all deformed because of that, because of uranium. So, going on here. And we just can't blame a group. We have to come together to resolve this thing.
I agree with that.
Very complex here, because we can't just beat up white people, that's disaster too, because we're beating up ourselves. We have to see it that way. You see what I mean? We have to see it that way, because we're one species. So yeah, I would tell them to understand that. Yeah, this is a specific period, or we have a Black History, but we have to understand what it really means. Understand what it really means, because we've never been inferior. We've been dominated. Yes, there's a lot of people in the world that's been dominated. I mean, Japan dominated China, dominated Korea. I mean, you know, people have done that. And they were all, so speak, Asian people. That was being done to. So, you know, Germany tried to wipe out groups of people also that were looking like them. So, you know, it's complex, and we have to try to get a handle on this stuff. That's you know.
I agree. I believe that's important, that we do. That's why I said it should be a twofold approach, because
right.
of what's developed over the time. We
right.
do have to create that self-esteem specifically for blacks. And I repeat myself. I say that because they feel inferior because they're black.
Right.
Not because they're poor, not because
right.
they live in certain neighborhoods, but because they are black.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, it has to be addressed. It has to
exactly.
be attempted to be undone from that perspective
exactly.
and, you know, peel back that first layer and then get down to the core issue of what you're talking about. That, okay,
uh-huh.
now that I am completely or significantly self-empowered mentally, to understand that I am at par with anyone, now I can begin to attempt to understand what's really going on in society, what's really happening. Martin was decades and decades ahead of himself in that
yes.
sense.
Yes.
Which is why I think it's important that we study and appreciate what Martin did on so many fronts.
True.
Because, as I said, the two fronts for African Americans is to understand that you're not inferior in any way. In
right.
any way, you are at par, at minimum, with anyone on the planet.
Exactly.
And an example is a Martin Luther King. Now, then Martin Luther also addressed that other piece that you're talking about, which is economic equality.
Right.
So I think he addressed, well, he didn't resolve it, but he began to have some of that discussion.
Yes.
And I think that may have been the undoing of him in terms of his life. More so than the equality thing,
right? What took over was that when he made that anti-Vietnam speech, that took him over the top, and they got rid of him. But that was it. When he took that speech forward, he made people that wanted to listen understand that capitalism, imperialism, the highest stage of capitalism is imperialism, was the most demonic thing that we're living in.
Mm.
That's where it's at. That's why he had to be assassinated. I mean, James Earl Ray had nothing to do with it. It's just like with Kennedy. Oswald had nothing to do with Kennedy. See what I mean? Nothing whatsoever. Oswald happened to be an intelligence agent for the Navy. naval intelligence officer was made a patsy and allowed a gangster to come into a corridor that only police could be inside there. And he shows up inside to shoot Oswald to kill him so that he wouldn't give the information that he had nothing to do and show what his connections were. So, you know, we go on and on. I mean, 9/11. I mean, I can't. Some people I can't even talk to about 9/11. They don't want to hear it because it's like traumatizing to them to realize who really did it. When all they have to do is go to the call the library and ask the temperature required to melt steel, tungsten steel, and the that temperature, and how hot can jet fuel burn at what temperature, and that temperature is not equal to melting tungsten steel. That's all you have to do. They'll tell you 1,000 degrees difference between the two. So the gasoline and the planes had nothing to do with the collapsing of the buildings. Nothing whatsoever. That's it. Go to the library. Make me a liar. Please.
Ron, as always, it has been a pleasure. And truly an enlightenment to have this discourse. I know we're going to get a lot of folks in the archives tuning in. As I mentioned, next month, that month set aside, the shortest month of the year for African-American history, which I do believe is important. And I understand your point that, wait a minute, we're one race, we're the human race. It's unfortunate, as I said for the fourth or fifth time, that our society has developed into what it is, where we, I believe, do need a time that's set aside to bring about the consciousness of a race of people that, because of a system, have been degraded to the point where they have been segmented. We started at the top of the program with a discussion about a newspaper article
that
said Rutgers University, Rutgers University's board has decided to hire the first non-white, was the term in which it was put.
Right, non-white.
President into schools 250 years. So, you know, right there, you know, underscores what I'm saying, that is it necessary? Yes, it is necessary. Sure. I look around and I see a lost tribe. We're one race, but there are tribes that have developed within this race on this global sphere we call Earth.
Right.
And because of systems of dominance, which, as I said, you've talked about over the years, because of resources that individuals have wanted to dominate and therefore dominate over other people.
Right.
And when counter forces decided, wait a minute, I want the resources, and I have people that'll follow me, and then you had wars from there. But you see, the planet was divided in segments based on where people developed and migrated to.
Right.
And you talk about that, those who migrated into northern Asia, into northern Europe, those who were resident in the African nation, in the African continent, excuse me, and stayed there. And then some developed more than others. Some developed weaponry through gunpowder.
Right.
Some decided to use that gunpowder, not just for protection, and it to be able to hunt.
Right.
And buy food, or not buy food, but hunt for food, but to dominate over others and to take the resources of others.
Yeah.
And then that just proliferated into what we have now through the slave trade.
Right.
And that whole African diaspora. And so now it has developed into an ugly scenario of blacks that are literally being attacked on so many fronts now, more fronts now than ever before. Because, see, now the Roach Motel concept has kicked in. They're using that whole caste and class against the race itself.
Yes.
Those blacks with the have being used to further degradate the ones who do not.
Right.
So I think with that said, it's so important that there is an African-American history. And that,
I agree.
And that we talk about our history. I'd love for you to come back in the next 4 or 5 weeks and talk a little bit about that diaspora and how that took place and some of the things that happened for this group of people we now call African Americans to actually populate this country we call America. I would appreciate that. I've seen it. I've heard it. If you would be considerate to share that with us at some point in the next 5 weeks, Ron.
By all means.
Well, I thank you. I thank our listeners for tuning in. I know they've just been in awe. And I know we had some difficulties in the beginning. And as I said, I don't know if you were in the virtual studio at that time, but what I said was, I see we're having technical issues here again, and I'm not surprised. And, well, okay, it's a good thing because it's an affirmation, I believe, that we must be on to something.
Right.
Because our guest yourself, Mr. Crenshaw, is in very good company.
Some of our most prolific
guest over the last 10 years have had the same scenario, and I don't think it's a coincidence.
I don't think
it's a coincidence when those who are outspoken about one thing or another, Dr. Joy DeGruy, Mr. Dick Gregory, Mr. Mary Baraka, and others who have come on and been willing to speak truth to power, that there just happened to be some glitch with the program, and that's fine. Because our folks do go to the archives and they do call me and say, Darryl, I couldn't get through or I couldn't hear the whole thing, but I went to the archives and boy, oh boy, Mr. Gregory or Ms. DeGruy or Mr. Crenshaw, they were just so amazing. And some of the things that he said. So we appreciate you. We really do, Mr. Crenshaw. And we look forward to you coming back and sharing some history, if you would.
Thank you. And I thank you for having me, believe me. Okay.
Well, until the next time, Mr. Crenshaw, you and yours be blessed. We wish you well. And you know I'll be reaching out. I'll reach out and maybe we can get a date set, in advance so we can get some advanced notice in terms of publication when you'll be coming on so people will be aware. In advance, and they'll have an opportunity to tune in and perhaps, ask questions or have some interface and input in the dialogue.
All right. Good.
Well,
thank
listeners,
you.
Thank you, Ron. We have been talking with Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, and I like to say a true historian. a researcher, human and civil rights advocate, and, well, someone who simply cares about our planet and the people thereon. And Mr. Crenshaw, as he committed, will be coming back sometime in the few weeks ahead to have more of a discourse on some of the history of how we've come to be what we are as a nation, especially from an African-American perspective as we celebrate the upcoming African-American History Month. With that, we have a few treats in store for you in February as well. So I want you to tune in the weeks ahead. We're going to be starting Black History Month a little early. Next week even, we're going to have a very interesting and, I believe, insightful and enjoyable program as we bring some talented individuals to the airwaves to share through spoken word some of how we got here, where we are, and what we might be considering to do to change things in our country to bring more balance. So I thank you for tuning in to Progressive News Weekly. I ask that you tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. And we'll be here next week, same time. If you like, send me an email to Daryl_CLA18@msn.com or to progressivenews@msn.com and let me know what you think. If there is subject matter or individuals who you believe should be getting some airtime, and we'll try our best to make it happen. Until then, so long and enjoy. Remember, the best is yet to come.
You heaven, love will set us free.